It can feel in our world today that hope is of short supply. We only have to look around at the world situation, the wars, the natural disasters, or even a little closer to home, the rising cost of fuel, the cost of living with everything else going up, and perhaps even we see little hope at the moment in the local elections, wondering where it will go. Some of us may be worrying if we will get off on holiday with the aircraft fuel prices going up. And perhaps even in our own lives, there are things that may feel that give us little hope. Now, perhaps that I've totally depressed you, I want us to turn away from the negative, from the lack of hope, to start seeing the hope that is out there. And this is what our readings today are partly about, from John 14 and 1 Peter 3. They offer us something to speak about that is hope, but more than just that feeling of hopefulness. And more than just a distant dream, but a present power, a power that is revealed through our Lord Jesus Christ, a power that can show us that things can and will get better, that even at the lowest point in our lives, there is hope. In John's Gospel, we find that his disciples actually are in a state of high anxiety. Jesus has just told them he's leaving their world. So it is crashing, their world is crashing around them. But Jesus doesn't offer a manual on how to cope with grief. Instead, he offers an advocate, a comforter, a spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come into the world to guide, to lead, to offer hope in many different ways. Jesus goes on to talk about not leaving them as orphans as he leaves them, but gives them a foundation of hope. To be an orphan is to be given, not to have a name, to be without a home, to be without hope. Jesus promises that even in his physical absence, he will never abandon them. He will always be there, walking alongside them as he walks alongside us. Because he walks alongside us, Jesus will come into relationship with us, and therefore we come into relationship with him and God. And this is what will give us hope. It will what give our community of faith hope, that as we walk and work together, we grow together. But while at the same time, it means we can have hope, it doesn't mean there is an absence of trouble. It means that God is present with us, giving us the strength to continue our journey. Jesus offers us a whole new avenue of relationship through the Spirit that will come at Pentecost, given to the disciples as their community and now given to us. It is the Spirit who will enable them to follow the teaching. Centering on a Christian life, on love for Jesus, the Spirit is described in many ways, a counselor, the Holy Spirit, an advocate. And the Greek word, now I did get this right earlier when I practice it, but Colin, can you tell, begins with P for the Spirit. Paraclete, yes, I got it right. Dyslexia kicks in at odd times. Relates also to the practice of offering support in a court context. For example, by witnessing to someone's goodness, and that it is the Spirit of truth enabling the community of disciples to live authentically in the accordance with Jesus' calling and therefore being able to share hope. Before I came a minister, I worked in a respite home with people with learning difficulties. And part of my job was to be an enabler, as I think the Spirit does for us, to help them to live as independently as they could, from perhaps teaching them how to make their own cup of tea, to intervening in situations where they needed someone to speak on their behalf, to enable them to be as full a person as they could be. This is what the Spirit does for us. We see the disciples have a deep but unspoken fears, as we do, that they will be orphaned, left without their teacher, left in a hostile situation. But Jesus' patterns a message of hope and comfort, using words that have shaped the message throughout his ministry. He speaks of abiding with them and together, that there is a permanent relationship. He invites them to share his life as he does to us, and concludes by reminding them of the agape love, which is at the heart of hope, that brotherly, sisterly love. And we also see in our reading from 1 Peter 3, where Peter is writing to the church with its own fears. They are under persecution. They have had such questions as, how should Christians live? What are the responsibilities of God's people? Peter actually uses a psalm, Psalm 34, verses 12 to 18, to help in his reflections, as we'd read, which goes, which of you desires life and convert many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your spirit from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Speak peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are open to their cry. The voice of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous of the cry for help, the Lord hears, and the rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and serves the crushed in spirit. The reading meditates on these verses as Peter writes to the people. It's a form of midrash, a Jewish approach to scripture, a reflection of the aims to draw on something for the meaning of the present. They're not just to be old words, they are to be relevant for today, for us to find hope in. The quotation sets the broad context, held in God's care. We can choose to live right. Peter's midrash turns to the question, what happens when things go wrong? Peter is responding to a situation where Christians face persecution, especially in Rome. When this letter may have been written, directions are simple. Know who deserves respect. He invites his hearers not to fear hostility, but to recognize Christ all in body authority. Give them hope to speak to the people who are challenging them. Peter's own past meant that he was aware of how fear can lead to aggression and violence. He encourages his hearers to practice gentle respect, even towards those who abuse them. Recognizing this will give authority, authenticity to their account of faith and hope. In this way, they can imitate Christ, who was sent before his persecutors. Paul mentions the hope that is in us. He develops this by painting a picture of Christ's journey through death to life with God. We too are called on that same journey. Scholars differ over the interpretation of the spirits held in prison. Who are they? Are they the persecuted? Are they literally Christians in prison? But perhaps the point is that even the spirits that are tied up, imprisoned, are set free through Christ's preaching. How many more are Peter's hearers, partners in Christ's journey through the death and the rebirth of their baptism, which reconciles them to God? Peter tells his hearers and them before him, we can explain our hope to others. We must set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts when Christ is at the centre of our fears. The fears are pushed to the margins. They are made a little bit bearable. We can move them forward in hope with Christ at our centre. This hope is not like having a magic wand, not like Harry Potter would wave, that makes everything go away. It's knowing that Jesus walks with us, however bad things get, and however they seem to be going. Things will change, and things will get better. And this was and is made possible because we won't fall apart, because we have hope in Jesus. We have Jesus in our lives who walks with us as he walked out of the tomb and survived the cross. It's a hope that lives inside us because we have the Spirit within us. This week we start Christian Aid Week that was set up to give people hope, that hope can change. We may have stumbled back a bit in that, what Christian Aid set out to do, but we still can give people hope in their lives, that things can get better, that others encourage them with how they help. So our readings explore a way of sharing the good news of faith and hope. 1 Peter 3 reassures his hearers to counter hostility by explaining their hope in Christ gently and with reverence. The gospel reading shows Jesus supporting the disciples in their fear of losing him by giving them new reasons for hope and trusting in God. Peter encourages persecuted Christians to keep doing good, even when faced with evil. They should replace any fear with readiness to be gentle and explain their reason for hope in Jesus, who also suffered to bring our salvation. With the Holy Spirit of our advocate, comforter, and we are strengthened to be faithful witnesses, sharing our hope in Jesus with others. We too could do no better than to follow these examples in our world that seem like at times we are falling apart. We need to look to Jesus. We need the world to look to Jesus and see that there is still hope out there for us and everyone. Amen.